So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 24, Text Number
15.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Yuktam Pati Drishtena Girishena Prasidata Tat Jayanta Japanta Cha Pujayan Tacha Sangyata Yaduktang Patti Drishtena Girishena prasidata Tadhyayanto japantascha Pujayantascha sangyata Yaduktang patti drishtena Girishena prasidata Tadhyayanto japantascha Pujayantascha samyata Yat That Uptam Said Pati On the way Drishtena, while meeting. Girishena, by Lord Shiva. Prasidata, being very much satisfied. Tat, that. Jayanta, meditating. Japanta cha, chanting also. Pujayanta cha, worshipping also. Sangyata, with great control. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When all the sons of Prachinabarhi left home to execute austerities, they met Lord Shiva, who out of great mercy instructed them about the absolute truth. All the sons of Prachinabarhi meditated upon the instructions, chanting and worshipping them with great care and attention, purport. It is clear that to perform austerities or penances, or for that matter, any form of devotional service, one has to be guided by a spiritual master. Here it is clearly stated that the 10 sons of Maharaj Prachinabarhi were favored by the appearance of Lord Shiva, who out of great kindness gave them instructions regarding the execution of austerities. Lord Shiva actually became the spiritual master of the 10 sons, and in turn his disciples took his words so seriously that simply by meditating upon his instructions, jayanta, they became perfect. This is the secret of success. After being initiated and receiving the orders of the spiritual master, the disciple should unhesitatingly think about the instructions or orders of the spiritual master and should not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. This is also the verdict of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who, while explaining a verse of Bhagavad Gita, Vyavyasayatmika Bhudhir Ekeha Akurunanda, Bhagavad Gita 2:41, points out that the order of the spiritual master is the life substance of the disciple. The disciple should not consider whether he is going home back to Godhead. His first business should be to execute the order of his spiritual master. Thus, a disciple should always meditate on the order of the spiritual master, and that is the perfectional meditation. Not only should he meditate upon that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute it. Om Jnana Timarandasham Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadati Svapadandigam. So in this world, everybody is interested in becoming successful. So, such success seekers should take hint from the transcendental pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because herein lies the ultimate secret of success. As described by Srila Prabhupada. To become initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. To receive the orders of the spiritual master. And without any hesitation. To always meditate on the orders of the spiritual master. Prabhupada makes this so emphatic. That he refers to other things besides the meditation of the on the order of the spiritual master by the word disturbance. He should simply think of the, without any hesitation, the orders of the spiritual master, without being disturbed by anything else. This means the disciple has one duty and one duty only. Whatever my spiritual master has ordered me to do, that is my responsibility. Even to the point, as Prabhupada points out here, the disciple shouldn't even think about going back to Godhead. He should simply think, I must serve my guru's order. If by my Guru Maharaj's order I am condemned to hell for all of eternity, if by my Guru Maharaj's order I am condemned to hell for all of eternity, that is alright. You know the story of the gopis and Krishna's headache. One day, Krishna had very bad headache. He told his servant, you bring the dust from the feet of my devotees, I will cure my headache. Nothing else. So the servant went looking to find some devotees who would give the dust of their feet for Krishna's curing of headache. So And he first came upon some smarta Brahmins. The smarta Brahmins, they think they are smarter. But actually they are dumber Brahmins. They are not smarter Brahmins. The smarta Brahmins are dumber Brahmins. Because when they had the opportunity to give the dust from their feet to cure Krishna's headache, they said, no, no, we will not do this. Because according to the strict rules and regulations, we will go to hell. So the servant, he went down looking, went along the way looking for some other devotees who would give the dust from their feet. And he entered into that wonderful place, that wonderful forest, known as Sri Vrindavan Dham, where the peacocks are wandering about cuckooing. The cows are mooing. And the serene Jamuna is flowing, making the most beautiful sound of the rushing waters. So, he asked the gopis, can you give me the dust from your feet to cure Krishna's headache? And they said, yes, yes, take immediately. So he was a little shocked. Aren't you afraid of going to hell? And said, that's all right. We don't mind if we have to go to hell. Just let Krishna's headache be cured. That's all. So this is the mood of the actual dutiful disciple. If my Guru Maharaj orders me, and even if his order is torture, I will accept it. Many years ago, Srila Prabhupada ordered one of his disciples to go to Russia for preaching. That was back in the heavy, heavy days, Soviet era. The Soviet era. When you could be sent to Siberia for chanting Hare Krishna. So it was very difficult to get suitable eatables. So this devotee was not very eager to go to Russia for chanting, for preaching. He said, but Prabhupada, what about my Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, damn your consciousness. So this disciple realized that, you know, he had to surrender to his spiritual master's order. And actually he accomplished great things and became a great hero in this movement. So whatever order we may receive, pleasant or unpleasant, it does not matter. We simply have to take it. And that will be our success. It may seem impossible. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when I was with him in Atlanta in 1975, he told us he didn't think it was possible that he could carry out his Guru Maharaj's instructions.
Он говорил о том, что он считал, что это невозможно выполнить указания своего.
But he made the endeavor anyway. He told us how when he actually when his godbrothers went to London for preaching. They were not successful. But they met one Lord Zetland. And Lord Zetland, he was familiar with Brahminical culture. He asked Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Swamiji, can you make me a Brahmin? Brahmin is the most elevated class within the Vedic cultural system. It is the priestly intellectual class, and even formerly the kings would be subordinate to the priestly intellectual class. So, Prabhupada's godbrother said, yes, I can make you a Brahmin. You simply have to follow these rules. No illicit sex. No intoxication. No meat eating. And no gambling. Lord Zetland immediately said, impossible. So, Srila Prabhupada was thinking, he told us, when he came to America. He was thinking, as soon as I tell them, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling, and they will immediately say, please go home. But Prabhupada said, so I was not thinking it possible. But still I thought, let me try. So this is the mood of the disciple. Even you receive an order that seems impossible to fulfill that order. You must meditate on that order as your very life and soul. And find out the means by which you can successfully worship and execute that order. This is the exact word used by Prabhupada in his purport. You should worship that order. Practically speaking, you could take the order, you know, you could print it out and put it on your wall, and you could offer arti to the order. Practically speaking. I'm not literally saying to do that. My disciples would be thought rather weird in ISKCON if they started doing that. But I'm saying practically, within your heart, you should be worshipping the orders received from your spiritual master. This is how much important it is for the disciple to be totally fixed. In English language, there's a word riveted. I don't know if you know the translation for rivet. Just like when they build a bridge, a steel bridge over a river. Or when you build an automobile and you fasten the various pieces of steel together with some kind of like a bolt and it's riveted, it's permanently attached. So when something is riveted, it's really solidly attached. It's a solid, solid attachment. So in this way, the disciple must rivet or solidly attach their mind to the order of their spiritual master. How much this is emphasized by Srila Prabhupada. So how much each and every one of us should be thinking like this? What if I don't have a guru? And then I don't have to worry about it, right? This is only for people who have a spiritual master. This is only, you could say, well, this is only in order for people who have a spiritual master. You could think, wow, I'm really glad I don't have a guru. This is too heavy. Thank God I don't have a guru. Or thank God I'm not initiated yet. I can still, you know, in English there's the word goof off. You know, I can still play around for a while. You know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. When the cat's away, the mice will play. So, but the point is this. This is how you'll achieve success. This is the first point we made at the beginning of this lecture. This is how you'll become successful in your life. You have to accept a spiritual master. You have to be instructed by him. And you have to take his instructions as your very life and soul. Meditating on them constantly without being distracted by any other thoughts. Worshipping his instructions just like they're deities. And finding out the means of successfully executing them. When Srila Prabhupada first received the order to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world, it was inconceivable to him how he could ever do that. He didn't even know what would the first step be. It was just like unbelievable. How could I even think of doing that? But still, I've been ordered to do it, so I have to think about doing it. There's another nice example in this connection. In South India, there was one Brahmin. This Brahmin was illiterate. He could not read. He wasn't educated like you. He was illiterate. But his spiritual master had ordered him that every day you must read all 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. So he would sit in the temple and look at the Bhagavad Gita. In this way, try to serve his spiritual master's order. So everybody knew what he was up to. And they would laugh and make fun of him and so many jokes. Oh, there's this Brahmin over here. He thinks he's reading the Bhagavad Gita. In this way, he was the talk of the temple. So Lord Chaitanya, he was touring South India. And he came to this temple. And he heard this talk about this illiterate Brahmin who reads the Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya thought, let me see who is this illiterate Brahman who is reading Bhagavad Gita. So he approached that Brahman. Because this Brahman had he was used to everybody making fun of him and criticizing him. But when Lord Chaitanya approached him, he knew this person has a different mood than everybody else. He could understand this person has not come to criticize me. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, he said, my dear Brahman, you're illiterate and you're reading Bhagavad Gita? How is that? The Brahman said, yes, I am illiterate. But my Guru Maharaj has ordered me that every day I must read 18 chapters. So what can I do? I'm simply holding the book in my hand and I'm turning the pages. But Lord Chaitanya said, he said, Brahman, I see that you are not reading only. I notice in your eye there are some tears in your eyes. What is that? He said, yes. When I see, they have given one painting also in this book. One painting of how Krishna, he is driving the chariot of Arjuna. And as I consider that wonderful scene, how Krishna is driving the chariot of
Arjuna,
I'm thinking, and how kind is Krishna that he acts as the servant of his own devotee. And whenever I think like this, I cry. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, you are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So in this way, we have to understand how seriously we should take the order received from our spiritual master. Even if we think it is impossible to execute that order, we must accept it as our very life and soul and try our best to carry it out. The result will be extraordinary, as proven by Srila
Prabhupada.
If we can simply take the order we have received from our spiritual master as the very sustenance of our existence, then we will achieve Krishna. Prabhupada explains that you will not find Krishna loitering in the bushes of Vrindavan. You will find Krishna in the order received from your spiritual master. That's where Krishna is hiding. He's right there in the order that you have received from your spiritual master. So getting back to the point, if you want success in life, if you want to not be another one of those millions of failures in this material world, if you actually want to attain God, then you must humbly approach his representative, the bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadje chajagarshu shreya uttamam. You must approach that bona fide representative and take shelter of him by initiation. And then accept whatever instruction he gives you as the very sustenance of your existence. So we can ask now if there's any questions.
Sometimes it is said that Krishna not ask us to do what we cannot do. He doesn't ask us to do what is impossible for us. But why sometimes these instructions of spiritual masters looks like impossible?
Mm-hmm. So the question is, why Krishna will never give us something which is impossible? So why does it appear that the spiritual master's orders are impossible? I'm going to give it in The fact is that the order of the spiritual master is potent. The order has the potency to empower the faithful disciple to successfully carry out the order. Just by worshipping, meditating on that instruction, the disciple will receive all blessings, all potency, all facility. For successfully carrying out that order. We may think, oh, Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible order. But what did Prabhupada tell us? He said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So if you think Guru's order is impossible, you are a fool. That's all. You're simply a fool. Because nothing is impossible to execute in the service of the spiritual master. Whatever order he has given, it is possible. It may seem impossible because of our doubting tendency. Because of our doubting tendency. There is no such thing as impossible. More questions? So now everyone is afraid of getting instructions. You're eager for getting instructions. Yes.
I have one more question. It is said that prasadam is transcendental, and at the same time it is said that if somebody cooking, for example, who is not initiated, it's his, how to say, karmic reactions come to this food. I don't know. And if we accept this food, we take these reactions also. I hear it like that. How to understand?
You accept the cooking from a karmi?
No, not karmi, but devotee who is not initiated. Because it is said that only initiated devotees and brahmanas must worship to deities, for example. And I hear before that if somebody who is not initiated cooking, and
if you take the cooking of a non-initiated devotee,
You sometimes not initiate devotees cook for deities. Not for deities, but for offering the kitchen.
Well, it's a matter of degree, actually. The more that someone is advanced, the more that they're advanced in Krishna consciousness, the more potent the prasadam is, and the less they're advanced, the less potent it is.
Yeah, but what about this karmic reaction or something?
Karmic reaction?
I don't know, because from one side, prasadam is pure, but from...
If you take food cooked by a karma, you definitely get karmic reaction. But if it's prasadam, if it's offered...
If it's devotee cook, it doesn't matter if he's initiated or not.
Well, the standard is, well, for Gornatai, there's leniency.
But
the actual standard for a deity kitchen is very, very high. I read in one place, actually, even enter the kitchen, you have to be second initiated. Just to wash the pots, you're supposed to be second initiated. So, yeah, it's a very, very high standard,
actually.
It's like to go on the altar, you're supposed to be, even set foot on the altar, second initiated. The kitchen is simply an extension of the altar. So, there is some leniency to follow all these strict rules for the sake of practicality. But the more we can have that standard, the Krishna consciousness will be more powerful. So we should inspire all of our second initiated devotees to do cooking. And those who aren't second initiation, we should train them so they can become second initiated. We want to have hundreds and thousands of Brahmins here in Tallinn. We want in Tallinn to have hundreds and thousands of Brahmins in Tallinn. Any other questions? So, everyone's ready now to execute order of Guru Maharaj without hesitation. Very good. Jai. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sankarsan Prabhu ki jai.